More than 235 million people visited America's national parks in 2020, despite temporary closures due to the pandemic. Grand Canyon National Park saw nearly 3 million visitors, making it the sixth most visited national park. But not all of those visitors were impressed by what they saw at those parks, and some of them were not shy about saying so, especially online, leaving comments about the mountains not being tall enough, there being too many rocks, it just looking like your standard forest, or it being the ugliest place someone's ever seen. That's where my next guest comes in. Amber Scher is an illustrator based in Raleigh, North Carolina, and author of the book Subpar Parks, America's Most Extraordinary National Parks and Their Least Impressed Visitors. I spoke with her recently and asked what her thinking was behind putting this book together.
Well, it really all started back in the fall of 2019. I just wanted to illustrate all of the national parks. I kind of love spending all my free time in the outdoors. And so I thought, as an illustrator, most people want to visit all the parks. I thought it would be cool for me to draw them all. But I wanted some kind of angle that would maybe be a little funny and interesting, just because there's already so many incredible illustration sets of the parks. And I ended up just stumbling upon some one-star reviews, and the idea was kind of immediately born, and it's just really evolved from there.
So let me ask you about the illustrations, because looking at them, to my eye, they kind of evoke those like 1930s era WPA posters that people still really like from some of the parks. Is that kind of what you were going for here?
Yeah, there's definitely an intentional sort of homage to that. I wanted my illustrations to be my own and be different. But I think just as like a classic travel poster look that kind of makes people do a double take, it felt really right for it to kind of look like have that retro vintage style to it.
All right. So we've got to talk about some of the reviews. I guess, first off, how did you pick which one? Because I assume there are more than one-star reviews for most of these parks. How did you pick which ones you're going to include?
Yeah, so it's kind of a process. There definitely, sadly, are far more than one for every park. Generally, I'm just reading through all the reviews online and trying to find ones that, first of all, are generally seem to be about like the nature and the experience with the scenery. I don't really want to get into people commenting about like facilities or how a park is managed, because I just think a part of what keeps it light and funny is that focus on people being unimpressed with how big or not big a mountain is. So that's kind of my first parameter. I make a genuine effort to make sure they're serious and not leaving a review in jest, which definitely does happen. And then really it's just sometimes a certain phrase in a review will just jump out at me and I already know what scenery I'm going to juxtapose it with or what I could say about it to be funny. So sometimes I really have to play with it a bit, and other times it's just immediately, that's the review.
So did you try to pair the review with the illustration that you did? Was there a conscious choice there to match those?
Sometimes yes. Especially when a park doesn't necessarily have that sort of iconic view. A lot of times I went for just the iconic view in the park to make it recognizable and kind of have that mass appeal to people who love that park. But other parks where it didn't necessarily have that's the view you need to show, I did kind of play around with it. Not in Arizona Park, but Biscayne National Park in Florida. When I saw that the review I wanted to use was about cell phone signal, I thought it would be extra funny to draw a completely underwater scene. So things like that. Sometimes it did inform the image I ended up coming up with.
So let me ask you about one of the parks in Arizona, of course, Grand Canyon National Park, one of the crown jewels of the national park system. And the review that you picked was a hole. A very, very large hole, which, of course, that is what the Grand Canyon is. But when you read these reviews, like, what goes through your mind about who leaves them? Like, who goes to the Grand Canyon and decides to post online a review that says, basically, the Grand Canyon is just a big hole in the ground?
Yeah, so that one, I love, that's sort of a category in my brain that I call, like, technically true.
Right.
Where, yeah, I mean, you're not really wrong, but it's just like kind of the most reductive way that you could ever describe the Grand Canyon. But I think if you really think about it, if you just try to drop into their perspective for a minute, maybe they're like 45 years old, and for their entire life, they've been told they have to see the Grand Canyon, and they finally make it happen. But they're maybe not, you know, a really avid hiker, because everyone knows hiking really down into the Grand Canyon is, that's a real task. That's not, so not everyone is able to do that. And so some people, their experience might only be viewing from the rim, which, I mean, I personally still find pretty incredible. But if it's been hyped up your entire life and you just walk up and there's a big crowd, so you don't even want to hang out there very long, so you just like kind of look out, I can understand how that might be your overall impression that you leave with.
It's more not living up to the overhyped expectations than what it is you're actually seeing.
Absolutely.
So one of the other parks that you wrote about in Arizona, Petrified Forest National Park, I got a kick out of this one. Basically a desert with some dead trees, which I think also technically true, but also really like the park is a lot more than that.
Yeah. And again, it's just so reductive because those dead trees are fossilized remains
right.
of ancient trees. So it's not like a downed forest. Like it's it's kind of this incredible scientific process that has taken place.
So when you travel, are you somebody who leaves reviews about places?
I really don't. It was really funny when I started this project, I started getting these notifications like, review this place that you went. People are looking at your reviews. And I was like, oh, people are like trying to go back and see if I've ever left one-star reviews for places, which I think I might have left one in college for like my property management company of my mouse-infested house, and that's it. But yeah, no, I don't really buy into reviews. I mean, I'll read reviews when I'm looking into buying something that's like an investment, where I really want to know if I'm getting something good quality. But I generally don't put a whole lot of stock into reviews, and I don't leave very many myself.
Are you nervous about checking the reviews for this book online?
I would be lying if I said I have not checked them. I'm not really nervous, just because I think, you know, having that sort of fan base in place where people have loved the project, I never really thought like, oh, people will come on here and hate my book. I mean, there certainly are people that do, and that's their right. But no, I'm not too worried about it. It did get me down for a second when I saw a couple of the not so nice ones, but it's okay. They're allowed to have their opinion.
All right. That is Amber Scher, an illustrator and author of the book Subpar Parks. Amber, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. Good luck with the book. I hope it only gets great reviews.
Thank you so much.